Romans. We're going to finish Romans. Go figure. Chapter 16, and this is just a farewell, just a goodbye, see you later, goodbye kind of thing. But in this, there's 33 names that are listed. 8 of them are women. So Paul, not in a place anymore where he's just worried about the men and just worried about putting their names down, but the women who have been ministering alongside and helping. The Lord has changed his heart. And we just don't want to look at the names, but also look at the characteristics that surround the names as we go through these. Otherwise, it's just going to be a boring list of names that we don't know anything about. But there's so much more than just the names that are here. But he says, I commend unto you Phoebe. So he writes to this church at Rome, church he hasn't been to yet, church he's going to go to. But in the meantime, he's writing to them. And a lot of the Jews, remember, were kicked out of Rome, had to go away and disperse throughout all the rest of the areas because the Caesars were upset with Christianity. And so got rid of the Jews, got rid of the Christians, moved everybody out. The persecution was awful. But the new Caesar was in, and now they were allowed to go back in. So many of these folks that were out once are now going back, and a lot of these folks he knows. Some of them he's met. Some of them he's just knows by name because of the letters that have come. But he says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Centria. It's near Corinth, so he meets her probably at Corinth. We'll get into that when we next week when we start Corinthians here. But here's Phoebe, and he says, our sister and a servant, gives her that heart. But the meaning of the word servant here isn't just doulos, but it's, the interpretation comes to almost being a deaconess. That she was in that place of just ministering to the sick, visiting the poor, helping out where she could, just in that place of just being a servant in any way that she could. In all the areas that were around with all the folks that were there, now back in Rome or in Rome, and he commends her to the church there. He says that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever holiness, whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer or a strengthener of many and of myself also. As Paul mentions her, he mentions her first in this list, and that's pretty amazing for Paul to do anyway. You can tell his heart is being changed, but he says, she's been a strength to me. And boy, sometimes you think that all you do is sit in a pew and you don't do anything and nothing's going on, but there's strength in that. There's joy in that. I know when I do funerals a lot of times that the folks aren't saved, but you start looking around a little bit and you see people shaking their heads when you're talking and you see people nodding in agreement and saying amen and whatever, and you know that there's strength there. There's people that are in agreement, and there's people that are helping, and you just get strengthened up in those things, and you just, it's a blessing, and she evidently has been a strength for Paul that he admires, that he is thankful for whatever season she was with him, but now back in Rome, and he's just commending her to the church, and just give her whatever she needs, and boy, is that sweet. That's a wonderful thing to have happen. A letter going before you. Just Phoebe's coming, minister to her, let her minister, but just watch her go because she's a busy one and she's going to get things done. She's going to get things taken care of, but she's going to do it for the glory of the Lord. She's a strengthener. She's one that has strength. She gives it out. And he says also in verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. This is from Acts chapter 12. I'm sorry, 18 verse 12. I got things mixed up here. And they were a couple that are mentioned throughout the rest of his books. A couple that were tent makers, just as he was, but ones that were in that place of helping. And it says in chapter 18, "And after these things, Paul departed from Athens, came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila." So Aquila and Priscilla were both in Corinth, moved out of Rome because of the persecution. And it says, "They found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought for their occupation." They were tent makers. "And he reasoned every synagogue in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And these two were with him. These were also two that helped Apollos when he came, in having not a complete understanding of scriptures, but just preaching the scriptures and just giving out what he knew. And they took him aside and ministered to him and taught him. So they were teachers. They were ones who were there just ministering along the way with others. And we see these different people, but they have different gifts, and they're working in different ways. But it's all for the kingdom. It's not just one person doing all the work and doing everything that's going on. It's the whole body is at work. And that's so sweet when the whole body is at work and doing what it's supposed to do. And he says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." They were helpers. They were ones who came alongside to help. Ones who stood with Paul, but didn't get in the way of Paul. Weren't in that place where they were trying to take over Paul's ministry. Knowing the anointing that Paul had, but in that place of wanting to be strengtheners for him, praying for him, ministering to him. And that's so important in the body to have happen, is for all these things to be going on. So Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, upon whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. They give thanks because he's still there being able to teach. But somewhere along the line, and we don't even know where it is, because it's not written about, but somewhere along the line, they laid their lives down for Paul to save his life. We don't know how, we don't know the where, we don't know the when, but Paul mentions it. Ugh. And we don't have to know everything, do we? We'd like to. I want to know the details. It's just, you don't need to know them. You don't need to know everything, but what you need to know is this is what they did once. And it wasn't to puff them up. It was just to say that they not only stood alongside of him, but they were willing to lay their lives down for him, just like Jesus would lay down his life for us. That's how far along in their relationship with the Lord they had come, is that they were willing to die for somebody else, just as Jesus did. And boy, that's maturity in the Lord. That's maturity that just comes with a lifetime of just walking with the Lord and seeing his life and becoming like him. And so he mentioned these folks that came from Corinth that were now back in Rome. And he says in verse 5, "Then likewise greet the church that is in their house." So not only did they stand with Paul and minister with Paul, they had their own ministry, as it were, but when they got back to Rome, they opened up their house for Bible study. And back then, there wasn't buildings like there is now, like we have here. They were just house churches. But as soon as they got back, they opened up their house for a church and started ministering. And again, the strength of the body comes from people who love the Lord, who walk in the glory of the Lord and desire for God's glory to be seen. And so they opened up their home. Whatever you want to do, Lord, if you want to bring one, if you want to bring 100, just bring however many you have for us to minister to. Not having so much their own ministry, but just having this little house church where they could minister to the folks that were there, close to them, and ministering to them. So not only did they stand with Paul and work on their own and then minister at night, but now they've laid down their lives and they've opened their home. These are a busy couple. a busy, busy couple. And then he goes on and he says, salute my well-beloved Epaminondas. And isn't it neat that he says this man is not only loved, but he's well-loved. He's beloved of mine. He had a love for this man because of who he was in Christ. And he really doesn't say much about him. He just says that he was of the first fruits of Achaia under Christ. Remember, Paul, when he left Damascus and went out to Arabia, and then he came back and started in Achaia and started teaching the word. Evidently, this man was one of his first fruits, one of the ones that first came to faith when he started ministering in Achaia. Just so sweet to have this man, and not only is he loved by Paul, he's well loved. This man is a beloved man. He's walking in the things of the Lord. And look at the description of these people that Paul surrounds himself with, these people that he desires for others to know about, that he speaks of them so highly. And the descriptions that he gives for them are just amazing to me. And you look in the Lamb's Book of Life as you go through, because we all want to be listed in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's kind of neat. He lists a bunch of people here. But there's one book we want to be written in, and that's the Lamb's Book of Life. And we do that by being born again of the Spirit. And we do that by believing who Jesus was and what he's done for us, his death, his resurrection, his coming for us, and he's going to come again. But he the description that's here of these people, and you think, well, let's see, the Lord's got a new name for us too. And you wonder if some of these characteristics are not some of the names that people are going to have when they get to heaven. That's not a thus saith the Bible. That's a just throw it out and see what you think about it. But boy, wouldn't it be sweet? But these people were known for different things in different ways. They weren't all the same, because everybody thinks that once you go to church, you become just like everybody else. You become grumpy and you're eating lemons while you're in church, and you just sit there and just, and that's all there is. And then they see what real Christianity is. They see the Aquilas and the Priscillas, and they see the Phoebes, and they see these others, and they see that they have different characteristics and different gifts, and they're using them. That's why it's so important for us to know what our gifts are, and to just walk in the truth of it. Wherever the Lord opens the door, walk through it and just start ministering. You know, we've got folks that are calling other people. We've got folks that are giving for other people, folks that are praying for other people. And it's just so sweet. Not everybody's doing the same thing, but the body's operating and the body's working. And that is just so wonderful. We see people getting saved outside of the church because of the witness of the people that are here. And it's just, oh, Lord, this is wonderful. Not everybody has the same gifts, but the descriptions of the folks, just the maturity that they have, they're walking through doors that the Lord has opened, and they're just being blessed by it and in it. And isn't it a blessing when you sit there and do the things that the Lord has for you? Well, all I do is pray. What do you mean, all you do? That's the best thing you can do. All I can do is just stand by the pastor, as this man did with Paul. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody's got to stand there and help. And that's just so wonderful. Not everybody is going to do it, but the Lord is going to put different ones in different places just for those purposes. Not everybody's going to open their home, but everybody's going to love Jesus in the midst. So he goes on, and he says, greet Mary in verse 6, who bestowed much labor on us. And here we have trouble. We have no idea what Mary. There's so many Marys in Scripture. I think this is like 6, but we don't know who this Mary is, but we don't have to know. But he says she's in Rome, so greet Mary, who bestowed much labor upon us. Much labor. Not just a little bit of work, but much labor. And it's amazing, in Luke chapter 5, just write the scripture down, Luke 5, verse 5, it says this, and Simon answered, there's ships that are out in the waters, they've caught no fish, and Simon, of course, answers the Lord, and in verse 5 he says, Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night, we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And you know what happens? He pulls it back up and it's full of fish. But that word toiled is the same word that labor is here in Romans. There's sweat involved. There's hard work involved. It's not just a passing by, you know, bringing a bag of groceries and dumping it on a porch. It says she labored with us. She sweat. She ministered. She did everything that she could in that midst just to help us with the church, with the business of the church, and just to get through the things with the church. There was much labor that was there. The Lord had given her strength. The Lord had given her just an understanding of who she was in the midst. And she labored with Paul. She labored for Paul in just helping out in any way that she could. She's one of those women that's there first thing in the morning and is the last one to leave at night. And just, where are you getting all this strength? I mean, moms are something else. But boy, you look at this and just realize the strength that they have sometimes, that the Lord gives us. And it isn't because we have that strength. It's because the Lord does. In every one of these, we have to realize, too, that they wouldn't be doing these things if it wasn't for God's anointing on their life to do them. In Colossians, it tells us, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And these people are doing that. They're laboring not so much for Paul's name, but for the glory of God. And Paul just happens to be the focus in the chapter. They're doing it in that place. They didn't have to be anywhere else. They didn't have to be in the biggest church in the area. They didn't have to be the only ones working. They were the ones that were doing what God had called them to do, and they weren't looking for a pat on the back. But the Lord's going to give him a pat on the back through Paul as he writes this letter. And this is probably years later after they've left and gone back to Rome, probably not expecting anything anymore. And yet all of a sudden this letter appears and he says, oh, by the way, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one, do something with them. Oh, as the Lord remembers what you've done and who you are. The Lord knows what you're doing. We aren't doing it for people. We're doing it for the Lord. And as we do those things, he marks those things down. He remembers those things. And he speaks out about those things. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. And you know, much love is going to bring much labor. As we love the Lord, we labor with him for souls of men. And he says, salute Andronicus, which means a man of victory. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen. So evidently some kind of relationship there. We're not sure what it is, but some kind of relationship there. But not only are they kinsmen, but they're my fellow prisoners. So they were in jail together. There's a bond that goes on here with them, not only blood relatives, but now fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles. The apostles know who these guys are. We haven't heard of them too much before, but all of a sudden Paul mentions them. In fact, the only time they're mentioned is here in Romans. But the apostles knew who they were too, because the knowledge of what they were doing had spread to even the apostles. And they heard of what these men were doing. But all it says was that they were related to Paul and they were fellow prisoners. And yet they had a name among the apostles. The apostles knew who they were. They took note of them. And he said, they were also in Christ before me. That's been 25 years. So they've been walking with the Lord for a long time, and they haven't lost their testimony. They haven't lost their zeal for the things of the Lord. They're still walking in that. And sometimes when we get older in the Lord, we think, well, our time's up. It's time for somebody else to step up and start doing stuff. But the thing is, if the Lord hasn't taken us home, he's not done with us. And we need to keep on keeping on. Keep the main thing, and just keep going on until the Lord takes us home. We're not done. We're not finished till the Lord brings us home. And so we just keep doing the things that are in front of us that the Lord gives us. And he says, greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. His name means enlarged. greet him. He's my beloved in the Lord. In the Lord, I love this guy. It doesn't say why, but his name means enlarged. So evidently he brought something to Paul that helped Paul in his walk, helped Paul in his ministry. He enlarged him. Whatever it was, this man did what the Lord had given him, the gift that he had given him, so that he enlarged things that were going on. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. So here's a man who was a helper in Christ. He helped with the ministry that was there, and evidently enough where Paul remembered him, he's now at Rome, and he says, salute him. Isn't it amazing that all these people in the church have left and gone back to Rome or gone to Rome, and yet Paul remembers them, and he's not upset with them for leaving where he was? Because remember, he never stayed in any place for too long a time. He was always on the move. And yet he thinks of these men. He knows where they are. He's been in touch with others, and he knows where these people have ended up. And he's thankful that they're there. He's thankful that they're helping. And he just brings out the greeting for them and to them. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. So these men, one of them was a helper, one of them was just loved by Paul for just the character that he brought into the church body, into the ministry. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. He's approved in Christ. He's one that's been approved by God and approved in Christ. And boy, if we're approved by Christ, then we're approved in everything, right? In 2 Timothy 2, it says this in verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. These men that are approved of Christ because they're dividing the word rightly. They're walking in the truth of the word, and they're letting the word minister to their hearts. And that's so important for us, especially in the churches today, to let the word minister to us, but to change us. Don't just read the word so that you have memorization of the word. Read the word so that it'll change your heart. Because that's what we want, isn't it? If we want to be more like Christ, then we need to let the word change us. Lord, if your word isn't changing me, am I really walking with you, or am I walking behind you and just not letting that have any impact on my life at all? And I know some of us think, well, I'm never going to have a name like these people are. I'm never going to be well beloved like this. But folks, if you're loving your kids, if you're loving your husband, if you're loving your wife, if you're loving the people in the church as these did, then your name's being written down and noted that you were a lover of your family. You were a lover of your husband, of your wife. You were a lover of the body of Christ. That you loved them so much that you were willing to help, that you were willing to minister. And God knows. You may not get mentioned in Scripture, but you're going to get mentioned before the Lord. Because if these men were noted before the apostles, who else is taking note? Jesus. He knows what's going on in our hearts and our lives. But we want to do it for his glory, not so that we get noticed by him, but because we love him. And that's the greatest gift we can have. I get more blessed by doing things for other people rather than getting things, because there seems to be more of a blessing in doing things for people and just getting blessed by helping. Because that is so wonderful. I mean, it's great getting gifts, but it's more wonderful to give, especially of yourself for somebody else. Just like that family that we helped out. And if you haven't seen the letter on the bulletin board, you need to read it. The kids wrote a little note too, so you need to read that. I don't think Marigold wrote everything, but she wrote something. I think there was a little scratch at the bottom. I think that was her. But it's just so sweet. It was such a blessing to go over there and be able to give them help and to minister to them in their time of need. We may never have that opportunity with them again. Praise the Lord, there'll be somebody else. There's always going to be somebody. But just to be able to give is much more of a blessing than just getting something back, than just receiving something. Just to see the smiles and the help and the tears of just somebody loves us. Yeah, God. And it's just so sweet to be able to do that. But if we're in that place of walking and operating in the realm of the Spirit working in and through us, then we're going to be a blessing to people, and the Lord is going to take note. We're not doing it for our own promotion. We're doing it for His glory. And you may not see much fruit, but God sees the change in the heart. Because we would never do that before Christ, would we? There wouldn't be a time that we would even think about that. There's a lot of people in the world who do a lot of good things, but you know what they're missing? They don't have a relationship with the Lord, and there's going to be no benefit of that. You just dig good stuff, but it doesn't outweigh the bad. So there's no way that's going to get you to heaven. But as we do things because God has changed us, there's even more of a blessing in it because our payment is eternal life with Him. Oh, and that's so wonderful. So don't think that what you're doing is going to waste. Just keep working for the Lord and just going through those open doors that are before you. So salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. And this man, some commentators believe, is the great-grandson of Herod the Great. Don't know. But it wouldn't be a shocker, because a lot of times people who are great in the world have children who come to love the Lord and to walk in the ways of the Lord. He says, salute them who are in his household. So evidently he had a house church going on too, and those that were in the house were saved. Salute Herodian, my kinsman, and greet them of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Greet them which are in the Lord. As he takes note that the family members are in the Lord, are saved and walking in the ways of the Lord. He takes notice of it, and he writes it down. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, whose names mean dainty and delicate. Here's these women who are laboring. They're out there sweating for the things of the Lord. They're not afraid to roll up their sleeves. Dainty and delicate are not afraid to get dirty. Dainty and delicate are not afraid to get in the mix and get busy about the business of the Lord. You think in the world of dainty and delicate, and all you think is queens and princesses, you know, that feel a pee in their bed, you know, that's down seven mattresses below, and they just go, I can't go to bed because there's this little round thing in the bottom, seven mattresses down, I can't go to sleep. You think of dainty and delicate, and yet these two weren't afraid to roll up their sleeves and to get busy about the business that was before them. Just, oh, thank you, Lord, that you can change a life, that even though the world named them, God, you can change what they were. You can change what we are into what you want us to be. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Just didn't labor a little bit, but labored much. Here's that toiling again. A lot of work going on in the things of the Lord. And not work for salvation, but work because of salvation. And salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. And we read about this man, that this name should sound familiar to you. In Mark, as we went through that 15, it says this about Rufus. I'll start at verse 16. It says, then the soldiers led him away, Jesus, unto the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, bowing their knees, worshipped him. Not real worship, just fake worship. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put on his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus. So here's his dad was the one that carried the cross for Christ. Can you imagine the story sitting around Thanksgiving and Christmas as they sit there and listen to him, tell him how he was forced by the Romans to take the cross and to carry it. And he's come to salvation because of it. And walking in the midst of it, Rufus. He was chosen in the Lord. He was one that was chosen by the Lord. He was one that knew his relationship with the Lord, and therefore he was chosen by the Lord. And we're all chosen by the Lord, aren't we? We just don't all realize it. Isn't it sad that Jesus came to save the whole world, and yet so few really understand what that is? Because everybody can get saved, but not all are going to choose to. But the ones that choose to are the ones that are chosen. Oh, and the Lord has chosen you and I to walk with him and to know his name and to trust him. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. So evidently, his mother, Simon's wife, was like a mother to Paul. So somewhere along the line, they had met. And with Paul's mind, in going back to the disciples and asking them questions, can you imagine the questions he asked her? Evidently, Simon's gone, but she knows the stories. She knows what happened. And so he just comes in. He says, what happened with Simon? Where was he? Where was he standing? How come the Romans picked him above everybody else? How long did he have to carry it? Did he look at Jesus along the way? Did he help him too, besides carrying the cross? Did he walk before him or did he follow him? Just, oh, the questions he would ask and the remembrances that would just come to her about the things that went on. And he remembers these things and puts them down in a book. Just as your testimony is being put down in a book. The Lord knows whose are his, and he knows what they're doing. And she becomes a mother of sorts to Paul, just ministering to him, loving on him. You know how moms are. You need more pasta? Mom, I've had 7 plates. Oh, you need one more. Just doing everything that she could for him when he should be the one doing everything for her. But she wanted to serve. Salute Asyncritus in Phlegon, in Hermas, and Pedrobus, and I'm killing their names, and that's all right, they know who I'm talking about, and Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. So salute them, and salute Philologus. It's amazing. His name means a lover of the word. Philio, remember Philio? The type of love, the brotherly love. And then Logos, the word. A lover of the word. Oh, here's a man who loved the word. And Paul says, salute this man. Because he loves the word, the truth of the word only and nothing else. Salute him. And Julia, and Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with a holy kiss. And that was the culture of the day, that they would greet each other with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. It was a kiss of love. It was a kiss of affection. It was a kiss just of just the friendship of Christ ministering to one another. Much like we hug now, they would kiss. And there's some areas over in Europe where they still do that. You walk in, and as soon as you walk in, the mamas are there just ready to kiss you. It just, really? I just met you. What are you doing? but they're just so sweet. That's their culture. That's their love. They know why you've come. They know why you're there. And they just love you. And it's just so wonderful to have all of that. And he says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them, take heed about them that cause divisions. Right in the middle of this greeting of these men and women is he greets the ones that are back in Rome, and now he's going to talk about the ones that are with him still. He throws this in, the Holy Spirit puts this in, because as many as these people are who are doing wonderful things, of doing great things, he says, mark them that cause divisions and offenses. And because in every church body, in every gathering, there are some who are going to want to divide, some that are want to bring offense. And isn't that sad that the church has to be defiled? But we're in this world, and we shouldn't expect anything less. Mark them. Take heed about them that cause divisions. You don't want to put them in places of authority. You don't want to put them in places where they can cause more division. You want to mark them. You want to take note of who they are and be careful of them. in offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. I remember once, one of the first times I encountered this, and I'm sure I saw it before but never noticed it until this one time when there was a couple of guys that came into church, and we were at a small church up in the city with Jeff Breed. It was before we moved to Penfield and started the bigger church that was there. But there was maybe 30, 40 people there. And these two guys came in, and any time somebody new came in, it was great. Oh, yeah, we can fill up more chairs. This is good. We can do something now. But they came in, and they started talking to people. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I saw Jeff go walking over to him and show him the door. They were trying to tell people that Jeff was wrong in teaching that the Bible was the whole counsel of God. And they were causing division. They were trying to get people out of there and into a cult in a different place. But they were sent out from that place to get people out of churches to bring them into another place. And it's amazing. It happens. And it just floored me. It was just, what is going on? What? Don't they know? Yeah, they know. But that's how the enemy works. To come in to divide and to cause offense. And that's so sad. God will deal with them, but pray for the poor people that are falling for it. Pray for the poor people that are just in confusion about who God is and in thinking that you can only worship on a Saturday. You can't worship any other day but Saturday. That Jesus wasn't really God. Pray for them, because they're going to bring offense to the gospel and to the doctrine. And he says, take heed. Because all these people named were well-beloved and doing wonderful things. But there was also others in the churches that were causing divisions and bringing offense to the gospel. And he says, take heed, mark them, and don't let them have any hold on anybody else in the body. Avoid them. Just an amazing thing. In Matthew 18, it says this, woe to the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. So offenses are going to be there, and they're going to be involved in the church. But listen to what he says, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. Woe to that man. Oh, that brings offense. When God pours out his woe upon men, it's not a good thing. You don't want to be in that place of being marked by God and saying, woe to you. Ugh. He says, avoid them. He says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, their own flesh, their own fleshly desires. And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Ugh. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men, and I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Be wise about spiritual things, and be naive about evil things. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we could be naive about evil things? But we've seen so much in our growing up, in our walking in this world. We've seen so much evil. It's hard to be naive about it when we see so much destruction that happens with it. But isn't it wonderful counsel? Be wise about spiritual things, but be naive about evil things. Ugh. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet, because he's the one that's causing all of this. He's the one that has caused all of this. God is going to take care of him. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. The grace of our Lord. That's what he wants people to know, the grace of God, the grace and the mercy of God. And then he says, these are the folks listed now that are still with him. He says, Timotheus, my work fellow. And again, the ones that are mentioned, the descriptions of what they're doing. My work fellow, the one that's working alongside of me in the work of the gospel, Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen salute you. And I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle unto you in the Lord, Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church saluteth you. Remember in Acts we talked about Gaius that was in the church there. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. So there's a chamberlain of the city, an official in the city, and he's saved, he's working. And Cordus, a brother. But isn't it strange? In verse 22 and then in verse 23, we see Tertius and then Cordus. And these in the Greek are really just numbers. These men are slaves. And a lot of times, slaves are mentioned just by number. The slaves in the household, the master would call out and he said, hey, slave number one, come here and do this. Slave number two, you do this. This is slave number three and slave number four of somebody's household. And yet they're saved. They're in the church when they get a chance, when they're not being a slave to their masters. But they don't have a name. They just have a number. Isn't it strange that the whole of America is based on your number? You give anybody your phone number, they can tell you who you are, where you live, what you're doing. You give them your social security number, you've given them your bank account. They take everything. But it's amazing, we're run by numbers. We're just a number. But these men were too. But they were in a place where God is taking care of me. God loves me. And I don't care what the world calls me. I just know that God knows me as something else. And I have a name that's different. I'm not going to be number three when I get to heaven. I'm not going to be number four. I'm going to be well beloved by my Jesus. And I'm going to be in heavenly places in Christ. I'm not going to be a number. I'm not going to be a slave. I'm going to be a brother to Jesus. I'm going to be in my Father's household. Oh, and that is so sweet to just see what goes on with the world and then what the Lord does with it. It says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Notice twice in these last three verses, he says, the grace of the Lord. How we need to know the grace of the Lord as we walk in these days with him. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And the mystery is just something that's here is about the church of the Gentiles and the Jews coming together. Remember, all of this book was about the Gentiles and the Jews coming together. And it was a mystery for some at the start, but by now they've realized that things are coming together. And it says this in Colossians 1, verses 25 to 27. He says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery. And the mystery is something for saints that was a mystery at the start, but now is made known to us because of the Word of God, because of the understanding of the Holy Spirit. So it's no longer a mystery for us, but it was a mystery at the time. Even the mystery that has been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The coming together of the New Testament church, Gentiles and Jews together, all one, together in this great place. And it was a mystery to the world. That couldn't happen. How would God work all of that out? And yet we see it looking back, we see it all worked out. They were looking at it going, this can't work. They hate each other. But God's love covers a multitude of sin and moves things aside that used to be hatred and envy and anger, and now brings love into the midst and his grace into the midst. And because of that, now the church can get along together. It was a mystery. It was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And notice the obedience of faith. We can all say that we have faith, but are we obedient to the faith that God has given us? And that faith is the faith that Jesus has given us, to believe who he is. To God only wise. He's the only one that is wise. We need to understand that. We need to know that. Stephen Hawking is not wise. He has some smarts, but God is the only wise one. He knows so much more than Hawking will ever know, and anybody else that comes through. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. What an awesome book. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for this book of Romans, Lord. Just an amazing book of grace, an amazing book of love, an amazing book just to show us all of history coming together and bringing Gentiles and Jews into this New Testament church to worship together, to worship the one true and living God. And Father, we're just so thankful. And as we look at these names, Lord, we just realize that these were men and women just like us that had troubles, that had hardships, that had distractions just as we do. And yet, Lord, Paul looked on them just as you look on us. And he saw the good that was there, just as you do. You don't see the sin anymore because it's covered in the blood. You just see that we're faithful, that we love you, that we've accepted you as Lord and Savior, that we've come to you in belief and trust of who you were. And you don't point out our sin. You point out those good attributes that you've given us, that we're helpers, that we're builders, that we're laborers together in this kingdom. And Father, you take note of each and every one. And so we just thank you, Lord, for this example. We thank you for the encouragement of it. It's so wonderful to have in these days that we're in, just to realize, Lord, that you're watching, you're taking note, that you love us, and that you know the issues and the problems and the trials that we're going through. And yet you're okay. You're still on the throne. You still love us, and you're still making a way for us. So thank you for it, Lord. And we just look to you now and just ask for your leading, for your guiding, for your direction, because we need you, Lord. So have your way with us. We love you. We thank you. And Father, we just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.